Hey, welcome back to Forging Worlds. We got another downtime episode for y'all. I'm Matt.
I'm Alan.
And today, Alan, what are we doing?
We are going to be doing a new segment on Forging Worlds, which we're both super duper excited about, that we're calling Building Blocks. So we are going to start taking some real world, some not real world, some things, and using them as a basis for creating a story.
Yeah, these are like plot hooks is kind of what we're aiming for, but all of the ones that we have on our secret list of topics to talk about are things that you and I have both like found or thought of or just kind of like have been exposed to. I'm really excited to talk about this first one. This was the one that kind of inspired this whole segment.
Yes. And it's really fascinating. So do you want to introduce it or?
So what we're doing, this first idea was, it showed up on my Facebook. Someone shared something from the entertainment page, Casper Planet. And the idea is that the Devil's Tower in Wyoming, that big like cylinder of rock that was the, like the key landmark from the end of Close Encounters of the Third Kind, that thing, according to Casper Planet, is actually the trunk of a dead tree, Alan, whose roots go 4 miles into the earth.
Okay, so let's start, because I'm very science-minded, so let's start with the obvious. This has been debunked.
Oh yeah, Snopes has it, man.
Snopes has it. There are no roots. It is the Devil's Tower is made of igneous rock. It is interesting though because it kind of led Matt and I to the same conclusion at the same time. And I remember the chat where we both typed in basically the same thing and hit send at the same time that this was once Yggdrasil. For those of you not familiar with Norse mythology, Yggdrasil is the tree of life. It is the center of all reality, it is the world tree, and within its roots are each of the realms.
Yeah. This is kind of, if you've seen the Thor movies in Marvel, they kind of briefly touch on this in the first one, and there's some kind of imagery of it. But this shows up more in some of the other Norse mythology a lot stronger, and the gods will frequently traverse Yggdrasil to get from one realm to the other.
Mm-hmm.
Like Bifrost is a really neat shortcut between Midgard, Earth, and
Asgard.
Thank you. Yes, I was trying to come up with some other word from a different mythology, and it wasn't plugging in. So when that popped up, and I was like, "Oh, dead tree, massive, 4 mile deep roots. Oh, that looks like Yggdrasil." And this morning, when we started looking at this for this episode, We did some Googles, and man, one, if we ever needed a reminder, the internet has some crazy people on it.
Yeah, some people be crazy, y'all, like, and I don't say that lightly, because, you know, at least me personally, I try to keep an open mind about a lot of things, but when your evidence, number one, is the fact that the thing was featured in a movie about aliens, you really need to reevaluate your evidence because that's not evidence of anything.
And what Alan's talking about is we found an, I don't want to call it an article. It's a blog post.
It's a blog post. That's exactly what it is. That's all it is.
Now let's preface. If what we're about to talk about is what you believe, and if that's your jam, man,
you do you.
Best of luck to you.
Please talk to us. Like, reach out. We want to have a conversation with you. This is not to disparage other people's ways of thinking. I love getting into these conversations. So please reach out.
And a lot of this is we're going to make some jokes about how they formatted this post because
it's bad.
So the blog title is Leylines Link Devil's Tower, Denver Airport, NORAD, Roswell. And for some reason, those are all just like a run-on sentence of words. It's got really bad formatting where they just do random line breaks. So I'm going to read the first, I guess, what should be a paragraph. And I'm going to leave the appropriate pauses where a line break would indicate that you stop talking for a bit. So buckle up. This is fun. The present article is provides the reader with evidence of the discovery of a major north. South ley line, also called by the Chinese a dragon line. These are psychic, magnetic, ethereal. Locations are lines of power that traverse the earth. They may be activated by the earth's rotation on its axis while revolving around the sun. The Illuminati use them frequently in their works. Much of their numerology and architecture appears linked or based to this phenomena.
And to be fair to the article, ley lines are something that have appeared in multiple cultural mythologies throughout the world. You know, the idea of energy traveling, the connection of energy and spirits and things like that. But yeah, their evidence is real bad. It's not convincing.
They got some like Bible code numerology stuff going on in here that is, politely, it's a reach.
Yes, it's a big reach. But I don't think we really need to go into the evidence so much. Just we bring it up just so that you, the listener, know that this idea floats around there, that there is something mystical and magical and occult about the Devil's Tower. So, and if you don't know what the Devil Tower is or you've never seen it, please Google it. It's a beautiful structure. Apparently, only 1% of visitors actually manage to climb Devil's Tower. You have to use traditional climbing techniques in order to do it because it's pretty sheer. You know, it's been around for a long time. The Sioux Native Americans referred to it as the Bear's Tower or the Tower of the Great Bear. So it's a really fascinating natural landmark, but we want to take it and make it magic.
Yeah. So what we're going to do here is Alan and I both have different GM styles, different world building styles, as you've probably picked up on, different plot and story styles and how we tell stories and the kind of stories we like to tell. So what we're going to do is the core premise is the Devil's Tower is the like petrified remains of Yggdrasil in our world. That's the core concept that we're going with, and we're both going to run with that and tell you what sort of how we would use that as the main plot hook for a game. So, Alan, you want to start?
Sure. The way I would do it, I think, is I would focus on Asgard. I would want this to be a game where essentially you play almost Marvel type Asgardians. This would be, I would want this to have kind of a comic booky feel, you know, even if we didn't set it in actual, you know, Marvel comics, I still think that would be a fun way to go with it. And what I think would happen is that Asgard all of a sudden, not really all of a sudden, or maybe yes, all of a sudden, loses contact with the other realms. The Bifrost, you know, is gone. It won't work anymore. The rainbow bridges are falling apart. And when they go to investigate, they find that not only has Yggdrasil been cut, it's been petrified. So the heroes are responsible for going to the other realms to evaluate the damage and ultimately figure out who did this. One of the complications that I would like to throw in is, and please forgive my pronunciation because it's going to be bad, Nidhoggir, the Malice Striker, the dragon that lives in the roots of Yggdrasil. I would like for him to essentially have been petrified too, that okay. He was trying to, they were trying to protect the realms, and they also suffered the same fate as Yggdrasil. So that could be one of the major points when they approach Yggdrasil, is that when they get into the roots, they find Nidhoggir, and are able to somehow communicate with it, even though it is no longer able to move.
Okay. So what is going to be kind of the, what do you see as being like the plot arc of this?
First arc is definitely mystery. Who did this and why? And I don't necessarily want there to be a very clear answer at first. I would want to do a lot of red herrings. You know, basically who would benefit the most from this, that kind of thing. But I would like to throw in maybe a twist of that it was actually the same group of heroes from the far future because they know something that this group doesn't.
Okay, that's an interesting twist. I like that.
And so the current group would see themselves as turning evil and becoming, you know, just bad, but eventually kind of figure out why they felt they had to do this, and then try to go back and stop themselves from killing the World Tree.
So let me ask you another question, because I'm going to use this particular character in mind. How do you feel about Ratatosker, the giant squirrel who lives in Yggdrasil?
Ratatosker is definitely going to show up, I think, because I think it's just an interesting concept that basically it carries the messages between the eagle and the hawk. But I would definitely, I think, use it more as, since the Bifrost is down, the Rainbow Bridges are down, Ratatosker is the quickest way to traverse the Yggdrasil routes.
Okay.
So they would have to basically befriend Ratatosker, because Ratatosker doesn't trust them at first, because from its perspective, they're the ones that cut down the tree.
Okay. So what human time period does this happen in?
I want it to kind of structure a long time. So when they first when everything first goes down, it's modern day. The group that went back to cut Yggdrasil is from about 100 years in the future. And one of the biggest conflicts will happen like in the 16 or 1700s. Okay. So have it kind of span timelines.
Okay. Very cool. And I guess my last question for you is, what system would you run this in?
Oh boy. My immediate answer is Genesis, because I want to run everything in Genesis right now.
Genesis is the new hotness from Fantasy Flight Games. You should go get it. It has the narrative dice system from the fantastic Edge of the Empire game, the Star Wars one that they did. Go get this and give them some love.
Yeah, but it's setting agnostic, so you can literally put it in anything. If not, then I would... Masks would not give me the feel that I wanted, because I would want this to be a little bit more serious, a little bit more dark. Worlds in Peril, maybe. The Marvel superheroic role-playing system. Even Origin, I think it's called. What's that one that lets you roll random powers that we did?
Icons.
I think that could be interesting. Basically you're an Asgardian, but you know, each Asgardian has different powers, so you could roll along this table, find out what your powers are, and then kind of go from there.
Nice. Okay. So for me, I would do something from the human side.
Okay.
So what it is this discovery that Devil's Tower, we're gonna set this in the modern day.
Okay.
So the way I like to do that for games is, this is set tomorrow.
Yeah.
What is it? Someone said once that James Bond is set like 15 seconds in the future.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So it's the idea that it's, you know, it's all stuff you recognize, but also something, you know, if something's a little bit more high tech than we're used to, that's fine. So I would set this in the human world tomorrow. People are discovering that Yggdrasil is Devil's Tower that was cut down at some point. And so the realization then becomes that we're living in a post-Ragnarok world.
Mm-hmm.
And what happens when gods start to show up again? So what I would do is I would have kind of two things that I would have the players create. I would have them create their characters, but they would create them second. First, they would create very vague new gods.
Ooh, interesting.
And then we would adapt the Scion system from White Wolf. If you guys haven't played Scion, it's one of the best things White Wolf has put out.
It's fun.
It's really good.
I really want to play any game or like play that game. We should do that.
We should.
Should get a group together.
Yes.
I'm pretty sure Jake plays Scion.
Really?
Like he has all the books. All of them.
Jake. We need to talk, Jake. Apparently. Mm. So first they would make the new gods. Each player would make one. But the rule, see, with Scion is you get to choose like what pantheon you're a part of and what deity you're a child of.
Mm-hmm.
With this, each person gets to make a god. It can be in, they can link it to whatever pantheon they want or a whole new pantheon, but they cannot be the child of that god.
Oh, interesting.
Just because then I don't want them like, there's some metagame stuff that happens there.
Absolutely.
So they can't be the child of the god they create, but this way we'll get like some pantheon started again, some deities out there. And, you know, if you have the right group of players, you're going to get some weird stuff.
Yes.
Inset with like, you know, someone's going to, if I was doing this, I would make a god that was basically just, I would even probably call him Neo Odin.
Yeah.
Like an Odin who's like a younger guy, maybe hasn't sacrificed himself to himself, and probably has some crazy cyberpunk thing going on.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I would do. It'd be great fun. But you'd get this great spread, and then you can choose from those, or even pick one of the new pantheons that they're a part of, and the GM will be like, okay, here's this god, and here's this god. Tell me what kind of god you want to be the child of under this pantheon. I'll make him. You don't get to know them.
Ooh, that's fantastic.
So you can pick one that you know about, one of these like five or six, depending on your party size. You can be a child of them, or you can be like, I want these kind of powers, and the GM will make you one in a given pantheon. So then you just play Scions, but you're in a post-Ragnarok world. Gods and monsters are starting to show back up. And if this is set tomorrow,
mm-hmm.
I think it's not a stretch to say that religion is waning in the world.
Mm-hmm.
So there's not any sort of mythic defense anymore. Like true faith, all that stuff is starting to wane in the modern world.
Oh, interesting. So
humanity is losing a defense against something that frankly has not plagued them for 10,000 years or so.
Hmm.
So now that all these threats are coming back up, how do these people that have never had to deal with this, how do they save the world?
Right. That's interesting. So, my questions.
Yes.
What happened after Ragnarok? What happened to Fenrir? What happened, like, how did everything crumble? And how did it lead to our world being what it is?
I think what probably happened there, and some of this will be decided, like, you know, in a game session.
Oh, of course. Probably. I mean, to preface this also, dear sweet listener, all of this is just our ideas. Obviously, it would be collaborative whenever we create the world and we sit down with our players. But this is just kind of a skeletal framework.
And some of this, probably a lot of this, is both of us just spitting this off the top of our domes.
Uh-huh. So. Like, we haven't really, we've thought about it, but we haven't, like, thought about it in the anticipation that we were going to do something like this.
Yeah, I don't have a notebook of this yet.
No.
I'm probably going to later this afternoon, but
yes,
that's not the problem. Same. That's not the point. I think a lot of Ragnarok, happened elsewhere. You know, as it should. Most of it probably happened on or around Asgard.
Mm-hmm.
But what I think happened is some of it spilled over. And one of like the last acts of a hero who somehow, and this will probably end up being like the characters will do this, but somehow like Baldur or Tyr or Thor received a message from the future that broke them out of their exact fate and allowed them one final moment to cut Yggdrasil. to sever the branch that connects to Midgard.
Got you.
So the rest of the realms suffered Ragnarok. They suffered the actual literal apocalypse. You know, with all of the other pantheons involved, however you want to mix that up, like the Sion core system paints this picture that Ragnarok is the death of all gods. Is how they paint it. So that's kind of what I'm playing with, is that Ragnarok happened like 10,000 years ago. Somehow one of the gods was broken out of their fate long enough to cut the Yggdrasil connection for Midgard. Gotcha. So humanity, like all of that mysticism was pulled away, which if you and your group want to go in this direction, that raises some really interesting questions about Christianity.
It does. What is it and where does it come from?
Yeah. So maybe you're not actually the first scions of gods that have shown up in the world. That's for you to decide. Or if this actually ever becomes like an actual play podcast, you can listen to us talk about it. I don't know. That's just spitballing. So none of us have time.
God bless it. No.
I want that, but I don't have time. Maybe later. That's how humankind, without that mystic component being an active part of their lives, was able to develop on in what we now see as this like strictly scientific, physics-based world.
Mm-hmm.
And if that's the only evidence that we can find, if all we can find is evidence of physics in motion, then yeah, we would progress exactly like we have. And what I'm pitching is kind of like the core conceit here is that that's because all of the deities, all the mysticism was deliberately severed from our world.
That's so fascinating.
That's what I would do.
Very
cool. We're coming up. Yeah, we're coming up. We have a few more minutes left before we hit that sweet half hour mark. Alan, why don't...
I've got an idea.
Oh, go ahead.
How do we combine the two?
Oh!
How do we take both of our ideas and put them together? And I have an idea.
Oh, go ahead.
So literally have it kind of run parallel. So essentially you would be running your game. I would be running my game. And then have a crossover. And have kind of this great realization that, uh-oh, this is happening all in the same place at the same time. And the two GMs running the games would have conversations with each other about, well, what did your group do? Well, what did my group do? How did that impact the group that you're running versus how did what you did impact my group? And that kind of thing. So that way you can get the story from two different perspectives.
I like that. Here's what I would do from like a larger world building point. Is my game focuses entirely on Earth, right? And your idea focused on the rest of the realms.
Mm-hmm.
So what we're having is, yeah, some deities are showing up that can affect Earth again. What if like out of the ruins of Asgard, that's where your heroes came from, is spontaneous recreation, spontaneous reincarnation, whatever you want to call it. Something has happened to kickstart Asgard, and as a side effect, because that spark reignited, every other spark in every other pantheon's Ooh. Holy site reignited.
So almost like an American Gods type situation.
Kind of, and I like that because Midgard is the only place that was spared,
mm-hmm.
that presumably the spark is coming from Midgard.
Yes.
Like something of this divine was left on Midgard and was spared Ragnarok. This spark is now flowing back out into the universe somehow. So all of these new gods are influenced by how the world is now. So you probably would have a god of the internet.
Mm-hmm.
You probably would have, you know, tech-savvy gods that can wheel and deal like an American gods. So yeah, I dig that a lot.
Me too. I think that would be a very interesting approach to take.
So I guess my question is, to kind of wrap us up here, let's take our games again, and let's talk about a couple other, like, in your game, tell me two or three other, like, set piece hooks that your characters would find out amongst the realms. And I have some ideas for some as well, so.
Cool. Immediately, I go to Jotunheim.
Okay.
And they would go to Jotunheim only to discover that the permafrost has started to melt. And that, you know, this Alan, is...
What lives under the ice.
Exactly. What lives under the ice in Jotunheim. So it's unleashing a whole new level and realm of terror and horridness, essentially. That's the one that springs immediately to my mind.
I want to spin off of that, because if that's happening in Jotunheim, if all of those other realms are atrophying, basically, from the state they were in, mm-hmm. and presumably all those states existed as a sort of balance, what's happening in the fire realm? What's cooling off and becoming alive again that the fire was keeping contained?
Yep.
So for me, what I would want to do is, for whatever reason, like that core of the divine that was left in Midgard,
mm-hmm.
that drew in relics.
Oh.
So somewhere buried, like maybe like buried in a tree or just on the top of a mountain, are relics of the old gods. Like Odin's spear somehow landed over here. Like,
oh, maybe interesting.
Maybe Thor's hammer is what caused Tunguska. So the Russian, like the Soviet Russians, had Thor's hammer and just couldn't make it work.
Well, and I mean, if you're wanting to bring in other pantheons and things, you could even do like the Crown of Thorns. You could do,
what would happen if Hades's crown of darkness, helm of darkness, mm-hmm. was found by a thief.
Exactly. Or I'm trying to think of some, like, bringing in the Japanese folklore as well. Like, you know, just, you know, I just have been playing Okami, so I'm thinking, you know, the brush, the, you know, the magic brush that can paint reality. You know, mm-hmm. just there's so much that you could play with and bring in these items of power that could, you know, essentially destroy the world in the wrong hands. What was the spear that pierced Christ's side? The spear of...
Longinus.
Yeah.
Longinus, yeah.
Longinus.
I think I would want to avoid Christian relics.
Mm.
Just because they happened after...
That's true.
...Ragnarok. Because that creates a really interesting tension in there. But here's the kind of the twist on that is like, yeah... Hey guys, Odin's spear fell in the Black Forest. It's there somewhere. You need to go find it. That's kind of like the upper level crunchy plot mm-hmm. of an adventure. So your guys go out there and find it. And someone who's like, we're going to run with that idea that the Neo Odin that I kind of half pitched off the top of my head is one of the gods. And so there's a scion of Neo Odin out there. And he's like, oh, well, of course. That's kind of like the patron, like my dad. So I'll just claim this and that'll be fine. And maybe it kind of works, but you're also just slightly the wrong flavor to really fire that off. Yep. And uh-oh, buddy, you critically failed on that roll.
Yeah. Bad things are going to happen.
But at the same time, wildly good things... Or maybe even aggressively good things.
Aggressively
could
good things, yeah. Especially if you get into gods that are yet are intrinsically good, you know, it could be, you know, if you have a god of regrowth and rebirth, it could, you know, cause plants. Like I'm going into agriculture, but like, let's say in Japan, somebody found, you know, a thing that would cause crops to accelerate and stuff like that, but they over-accelerate. And then all of a sudden, they're just being crushed under these land masses of rice that just keep growing and dying and growing and dying and growing and dying. And they can't stop the cycle.
Yeah, like the person who found the object and is wielding it can't control it. Like that's for me to make that idea really work in a game is they cannot be controlled by the player.
Right.
Like they can use them, but it's always at that risk that, hey, buddy, this can either go nuclear or it can go aggressively good.
Mm-hmm.
And neither extreme is good. As if you remember, like, the gods are only, in almost every story, every pantheon, the gods are only good when they're more or less neutral.
Yep.
As if they go hard one way or the other,
I just had a thought. You'd mentioned Hades' Helm of Darkness. If the thief is using it and isn't using it properly, it removes him from the timeline. He never existed. He's there. He's walking around. But no one ever knew he existed. And anything he touches, anything he does, is attributed to something else. So if he were to steal the crown jewels, oh, they just went missing. Or like there would be some sort of rational reaction to write it off. But he can't interact with anyone because he does not technically exist.
Alan, is something like that, is that how some of these new gods are born?
Is that
it's a failure of the old?
It's a failure of using the relics and the new gods rise.
Oh, I like that so much. Because you just described a walking paradox. Like, he becomes basically like a new Cronus or something. Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh, I love it. Okay, well, we have hit the half hour mark.
Yep.
And Alan, I think we did a lot of good with this.
I think we did too. And now I really, really want to play Scion.
Right? We're going to have to make this happen. So, listener, if this was fun to you and you want to play around in this space, man, tell us about it.
Yeah, please.
We want to hear what you and your group do.
Thank you for listening to Forging World's Building Blocks. We will be returning soon, so be checking your feed. Again, if you like this, let us know so that we can keep doing it. We want, you know, Forging Worlds to be a little bit broad, do a little bit of different things. And if you're interested in talking to us about it, please reach out. Thank you for listening.
Yeah, we've got, I want to tag on. Thank you so much. Please tell us how this is going for you, how you're using these ideas. And if you guys have any questions for Alan and I, we've got a third category of downtime episodes that we haven't touched yet. Mm-hmm. That we're kind of tentatively calling Mastering Your World. If you guys listen to CKTcast or Pokemon World 2 United, y'all know that Alan is a very, very good GM.
Thank you.
And I hope I've proven that I can at least make fun worlds. So if y'all have questions, send them in and we'll collect them after a while and do an episode where we answer them.
Mm-hmm.
So until the next time we show up in your feed, I'm Matt.
And I'm Alan.
Thanks, guys.
Bye.
You can find Alan at Alan_Sells on Twitter. You can find Matt at Matt Hoadley on Twitter. You can reach the show at Forging_Worlds or by emailing us, ForgingWorlds@FifthDraw.com. This show and the rest of the Fifth Draw family of shows can be found at FifthDraw.com. Forging Worlds is presented under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial Sharealike 4.0 International License. For more information, please visit creativecommons.org.